Before we begin the service, we would like to remind you of some helpful guidelines. It's been a while since we were able to handshake and hug one another. If you forget, here's a helpful tutorial. Put opposite hands out. Touch palms of hands together. There you go! Many of you have spent this past year watching church in your PJs, so remember to wear appropriate Sunday attire to church. Also, as always, remember to put on pants before you enter the church. You got it, Mike! Before and after the service, you are allowed to have a conversation and chat with people. If you forget how, here are some helpful hints. Maintain eye contact and face one another. Remember to ask each other questions and to use words. The pandemic has caused some confusion about how close we are supposed to stand together when having a conversation. You can get a little closer than that. Just a little closer. There you go, you got it! Going back to regular society is hard, but we are here to help you through it. From all of us here at New Life, we hope you enjoy the service.
Good morning. Unfortunately, we're having some audio issues. Trust me, that video was hilarious, though. It was amazing. You're gonna have to watch it again at some point. And I, for one, am really thankful for videos like that, instructional videos on how to get back together in public, because I am the kind of person that has messed that up many times. I don't know about you, but I've done many of these that actually have names now. I've done the gear shifter. That's when one person reaches out the hand to shake a hand, and the other goes for a pound it, and then you just awkwardly grab their fist and it's nice to meet you. I'm going to leave now. There's the chicken wing. You know, how you doing? I love the chicken wing. That's my favorite. Everyone likes seeing two grown men wiggle their elbow at each other. That's the best. Actually, I did that with Olaf last week. I went for the handshake, he went for the elbow, and I just walked away. I've grasped for thin air many times, that's great. How you doing now? Yes, I don't know why I'm bowing. That Walmart greeter never felt better, though, in his life. I'm going to go get some food, all right. But I'm so thankful for videos like that. We'll show that next week as well, right? Yes, okay, good, perfect. For those of you who don't know, my name is Justin, If you have forgotten me after a year or so, I'm Justin, and it's my privilege to serve as young adults and life groups pastor at New Life, and it's been an amazing time to get back together. Last week was our first time that we all got back together without restrictions, without masks and social distance, and to be able to sing together, and it's been wonderful. This is going to carry on, but we just want to ask that everyone continue to respect one another. During this time, if some people feel uncomfortable yet not wearing a mask or social distancing, we want to be respectful as we adjust. I also want to say a big welcome to those of you that are joining our online church. It's so awesome. Last week we had over 50 devices and over 50 people logged on. So cool to have people connecting that way. Pastor Mike is going to be on there today for the online church. Really cool, really exciting. If you want to create an account and sign up and show us your name, that'd be great. And then you can get into the public chat and connect with us on there. I hope you enjoy the service. I know for a lot of parents, kids ministries is on your mind. And last week, we were able to start with our Seedlings, which is our nursery ministry. So for kids 0 through 3, that's up and running. Thank you to the volunteers that have already served there. Thank you. You guys are the rock stars. We appreciate that so much. And we want to continue to have ministry for the kids 4 and 5 through the summer. So if you have volunteered in the past or if you have volunteered anywhere before, we would love for some help in our kids' ministries. We want to see this ministry get built back up, like, stronger than ever before. So if you have the time, ability, we would love to have you serve. Pastor Mike is going to be in the foyer after the service, and there'll be a sign-up sheet there. So we'd love to have you join him, sign up, and let's bless our kids' ministry. We're going to be taking our offering today. Our offering is for Resonate Global Mission. Resonate is our Christian Reformed denomination that is responsible for developing missional leaders. It's responsible for mission planting churches, for developing missionaries, and for even training on evangelism and gospel sharing. And it's an amazing ministry. We want to encourage you. If you want to spend some time praying and ask the Lord, how can I give? What would you like me to give? There's ways for you to give online behind me on the screen. And we also are going to have our offerings at the front. You can see here. So during the worship set, you can come forward. You can place your tithes and offerings into those boxes. We see our offering as a part of worship. How we give to the Father is sacred. And it's not just I'm going to give a donation, but it's something from our hearts. We want to say, Lord, this is for you. This is from my heart to you. So you can come forward during the worship and give there, or you can also give online. May God bless you as you give. We're going to be spending some time in prayer for the offering, but we also just want to spend some time praying for a dear family member of ours. It's with heavy hearts that we say that John Hoogland passed away last Friday, after a long battle with cancer. We want to remember Irene and their family, and we want to just cover them in prayer. John was a dear friend and a special member of our congregation, and he will be missed. Would you please bow with me as we pray? Father, we come before you with heavy but thankful hearts to lose a friend and someone who brings a lot of joy to your life is hard. So we sympathize and we grieve along with Irene and the Hoogland family, and we just want to ask that your comfort would surround them, Father. We want to ask that your peace would come and just rest on them, that they would have that full assurance and that knowledge that he is with you now, that he's been restored, that he is healthy and he's happy, and that he's full of joy because he's with his creator and his maker. We thank you for that assurance that we all have in you, Lord, that when we commit our lives to you, when we say yes to you being Lord, we have the assurance and a promise of walking into eternity with you. And we just thank you so much for that. Father, we also just thank you for the work of Resonate Global and the work they do to see missional leaders, to see churches planted, to see the evangelism shared and the gospel shared throughout North America and around the world. A lot has happened through that ministry, and we want to ask that you continue to bless it. Bless the leaders, bless those that volunteer, those that serve, and those that are operating as the hands and feet around the world. We pray that you continue to develop more and more missional-minded leaders in our congregation, in our denomination, and in our Christian family. Allow it to be a blessing, Lord. And as we give from a place of thankfulness, not of obligation, but just between ourselves and you, Father, we give. And we say, Lord, allow it to be a blessing. Allow it to be multiplied. And allow it to build your kingdom. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you join us for a time of worship?
Why, hello there. My name is Janessa, and I am the interim worship pastor here. If you don't know, I started in July 2020, and so that was mid-COVID. So I have yet to stand in front of you as a worship pastor and to lead you in worship, and I'm very, very excited to do so. So would you do me a favor, and would you sing loud? Sing loud to make up for those 16 months that we didn't have people in this auditorium. Okay, you can stand.
I raise a high. God, we love you and we thank you. God, it is so good to be back in your house worshiping you, God. It's been too long, God, and we just give you all the glory and all the praise, God. God, we just love you. We thank you. We praise you today, God, and we just give you everything that we have, God. God, and we just glorify you today. Amen.
We are in a series that we started last week called It's Personal. It's a series that we've done a number of times at New Life, typically in the summer. And it's a time where we spend reflecting on the testimonies of New Life congregants. And so we did that last week with Janessa. And today we take a bit of a different trajectory with It's Personal as we hear the testimonies of New Life missionaries. So the missionaries that we support and have sent out, we're going to hear their testimonies via video. So it seems weird to, we're listening to Eve Pohl's testimony. She's actually right there. So it's going to be one of those awkward moments where she watches herself talk about herself on a screen. That's always really weird. So just bear with us, Eve. But the rest of the missionaries will be sending in their videos as well. Today we hear from Eve Pohl, founder of Hope for Cora Ministries in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Cora is an impoverished community of lepers and marginalized people. They have been instrumental in transforming Dave and Eve Pohl's life. And through them and their story, God has transformed the lives of many in this vulnerable community of Cora. It's amazing how God works. What God has done and is continuing to do through Eve and her testimony is just absolutely amazing. And we as a community at New Life are blessed to be along with her in that journey. If you are new to New Life this morning, I encourage you to check out the New Life website, newlifecrc.ca. Click on Ministries and then click on Missionaries. And you'll be able to see the missionaries that we support here at New Life, and you'll be able to actually be able to click on Hope for Cora and actually see some of the work that is being done in this incredible community. So I'm going to turn it over to our tech team to show us Eve's video.
Good morning, New Life Church. A number of weeks ago, Nathan asked me to share my life first with you. And although God has used many passages of scripture in my life, I would have to say that Psalm 18 is my go-to. It seems that there's always something in this psalm that relates to wherever I'm at in life, whether it's a time of rejoicing, hardship, a time of waiting, but especially if it's a time where I'm feeling overwhelmed or up against something hard. Many years ago, when I was walking through one of those hard places, for a long period of time, I was feeling very distraught and would often find myself overwhelmed by emotion. And as much as I prayed and I tried to work through it in my head and my heart, I just couldn't seem to break free from it. And I remember during one of my prayer times, in my imagination, seeing myself out in the ocean, way underwater. And I was just feeling like I was drowning. And during that time, I would just pray and I just cried, you know, God, you know, how can I move from this place that I'm in? And as I was praying, I just sensed Jesus reach down deep into the water and pull me up and out and just hold me. It was an intimate moment with the Lord, one that I cherish. And of course, it's kind of hard to put into words, as this obviously was the place that God brought me in my imagination. But it also became a reality as I was able to break free from that hard place. And later, God gave me these verses in Psalm 18 as a reminder, verses 6 and 7, and followed by 16 through 19. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to God for help, And from his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. It's pretty incredible. Plus, even more verses after that where it just shows God's response to our enemies. He's angry. But it's verse 16 to 19 that I love the most. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy and from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place, and he rescued me because he delighted in me. For me, these verses are so incredible, especially the last part. He rescues me. Why? Because he delights in me. I'm so grateful that I'm no longer in that place I was many years ago. But since then, I have to say that I have cried to the Lord and prayed through this psalm many times for myself, for my family, friends, and for others who've all found ourselves in spiritual battles and facing powerful enemies. But knowing the truth and reality of these verses in my own life has changed me. From the moment God first rescued me as a 17-year-old young girl who was going completely wrong direction in my life, his love won me, and I became a Christian. And since then, over and over, he has rescued me. I am forever in his death. And more recently, over these last years, as I've had the privilege of serving in Kora, Ethiopia, God has continued to use this psalm in even deeper ways. Entering the suffering of the poor has, you know, dramatically impacted my life. And I've seen the Lord reach down many times and draw them out of deep waters. But also, since being a part of Hope for Kora, I have faced some powerful enemies that have been intimidating and intense, way out of my comfort zone and places I never really wanted to go. And I've also learned that sometimes God allows us to remain in a battle for a reason much bigger than we can see. Over the years, as I have walked with God and seen him move in Kora, I have often found myself in the middle of spiritual battle where the opposition is trying to undermine and destroy much of what we believe God is doing. And through all of 2019, myself and Hope for Kora were right in the heart of it. The continual attacks were relentless, and without God, we would have easily been defeated. It's during those times that Psalm 18 gave me the courage and confidence to stand tall, to keep my eyes on God, to stay in the battle, and to keep fighting. Verse 28 to 33 reads, "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. And with your help, I can advance against a troop. And with my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he causes me to stand on heights." I've seen these words to be true. And that is what he's done in my life and also in Hope for Kora. I'm sure that 2019 wasn't our last battle, but it was a long, hard year. My journal is just full of entries where I am crying out to God and so many things he taught me that year. And slowly and miraculously, by the end of 2019, the enemy was defeated. And a small glimpse of that bigger picture is that, you know, Hope for Kora, through all of this, became an international NGO, something which we had never planned to do, but God had. And 2020, when everything is happening around the world and it's been so hard for so many, but for Hope for Kora, it has been a season of standing on the heights, because despite COVID, this last year and a half has brought more breakthroughs for our families, and our programs have been moving forward in the ways that, you know, God has put on our hearts to pray for years ago. So much is happening, and it's brought so much joy to all of us in Hope for Cora, but especially to me, as you know, it's been such a personal journey with the Lord. It's truly only God. And as Psalm 18 says in verse 46, the Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. And that he is. Amen.
Thank you, Eve. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that you save. I thank you, Lord, for your word. As we open and reflect on your word this morning, would you transform us through it by the power of your Holy Spirit? Open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Eve, for sharing the significance of these verses in your life. As Eve shared just a small sample size of her testimony, it was awesome to see how her testimony piggybacks on what is often called or referred to as David's own testimony. You see, this psalm, Psalm 18, these words are sung almost word for word at the end of 2 Samuel chapter 22 by David at the end of his life as his testimony. This song is David's testimony of God's faithfulness to him in the midst of all of his trials. So there are four things that I want us to observe about God that are evident in both King David and Eve's testimony. I'm going to refer to specifically King David because Eve is also married to a David, and that could get confusing. So I'll be very specific. King David. First, our God hears. In my distress, I call to the Lord. I cry to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. God heard Eve in the midst of her overwhelming circumstances, just as he heard David calling out from a cave in En-Gedi. Just as he heard the prophet Jeremiah, who felt he was overcome by deep waters in Lamentations chapter 3. The waters closed over my head, and I thought I was about to perish. I called on your name, Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. You, Lord, took up my case. You redeemed my life. God's word, the scriptures, are filled with people who explode with the kind of relief that God hears their cry. Moses, Jonah, Hannah, David, Solomon, Nehemiah, Hezekiah, Job, many of the psalmists, Zechariah, Paul, Peter, Cornelius, all express gratitude that God hears them. There are more. It's just a sample. Congregation, we have had a year of calling out to the Lord, have we not? How long, O Lord, will this COVID virus last? When will it end? When will the restrictions end? When will the pain cease? When will we see healing? When will the loneliness subside? Lord, I feel nothing. Lord, I am numb. Lord, are you hearing my cry? As our text today reveals, God hears us. God is not hard of hearing. Now, I might be, actually. So a number of months ago, my wife and I were thinking to ourselves, you know, mid-40s, we should probably do some checking on the health thing, right? Like, just double check that everything's, it's a mid-40s thing. So we were thinking that maybe my hearing might be going. In the home, I was asking for people to repeat a lot of things, and I'm in my mid-40s. In my 20s, I spent time with firearms in the military and the police on the range and in the film industry shooting weapons. So that definitely damages your hearing. As I mow the lawn, I've got my headphones in, rocking to the 80s, probably a little too loud. So there's a context in which the hearing test makes sense. So I go to the hearing place, and I'm a little bit nervous. I'm actually picturing in my mind that I'm going to leave there with, like, a prescription for hearing aids. It's probably that bad. So I go in there, and you step into that booth. It's, like, soundproof, and you put the headphones on, and I was like, I'm going to beat this test. I'm going to concentrate. So I was just listening intently for the beep, and then you raise your hand, and another beep, and you raise your hand. You think there's a beep, but you... Ah, what the heck? Raise my hand. I came out of there thinking, I mean, how are you supposed to feel about a test like that, right? Like, is it my imagination that the beeps or what? So I get out there. She's printing out the thing, and then she says, I have good news. What? She says, you passed. I was like, yeah! It felt like I was 16 and just passed my driver's license. It was, like, really exciting. But then confusion hit because then, you know, but then well, why was I thinking that maybe I was going to get, like, hearing aids at the end of this? Like, and so she could see that I was, like, a little bit confused. And so she was asking about this. Well, I'm excited, but I'm kind of surprised because in the home I often have to repeat myself. And my wife says that she has to repeat herself constantly because I'm not really hearing her. And she says, she looks at me and says, sir, there's nothing that we can do in this building to help with what seems to be selective hearing. So there's that. A couple weeks later, I went to get my eyes checked and I got these. I didn't pass that one. Selective hearing. This morning, I wonder if there are people here that might be thinking that God has selective hearing. Wondering if God listens to other people clearly, but doesn't really hear our cries for help. If that's you this morning, I want you to think about three things. First, I want you to think or hear that it's okay. It's okay to wonder that. David did too. If we read his Psalms of Lament, you will see him wrestle with the same question that you wrestle with. It's okay. Second, as Eve reminds us from verse 19, the Lord delights in his people. He loves you. He loves you. He says to his chosen people through the mouth of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:12, many of us know Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:12 says this, you will call my name. You will call to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Third, as Eve also alluded to in her testimony, God's answer may not be the answer that we want at exactly the time that we want. His ways are not our ways, and his actions are ultimately for his glory, not ours. So hard words to say. Well, they're easy words to say. They're hard words to hold on to. That's why it's important that we remember that this testimony of David's was sung in 2 Samuel 22 at the end of his life. After years of persecution, years of family dysfunction, and seasons of intense job stress after all of that. Yet, if you read the Psalms, it gives us a glimpse of David living in the now and the not yet, waiting and trusting, praying while wanting and waiting. So yes, God hears you. He hears you. You who are asking those hard questions, God hears. Secondly, this morning I want us to observe that God saves. He reached down from above and grabbed me. He pulled me from deep water. That mental picture that Eve provides for us is very vivid. The vision of herself way out in an ocean, feeling like she was drowning. King David links the idea of feeling overwhelmed by life's troubles with the sensation of drowning more often, and it's a very effective metaphor because of all the fears that are associated with that. Aquaphobia, fear of water. Bathophobia, fear of deep water. Thalassophobia, that was a new one for me, fear of oceans. All linked to drowning, this fear of being overcome by water. I had a near-drowning experience when I was living in Holland as a young boy. 6 years of age, we lived in Leiden, and we were living in some row houses, and behind our row houses was a ditch, a canal that was filled with water. And my dad and I would often go and fish in the canal, and there were carp there fishing for carp. And we knew that, so I knew as a young boy that there were frogs and tadpoles there. I'm six. I mean, who can resist? As a six-year-old boy, can't resist frogs and tadpoles. Curious, went behind the row houses often, excuse me, to check out the frogs and the tadpoles. But we had a neighbor in one of the houses, a grumpy old fella, who anytime I got close to the ditch would open the window and say, "Hey, jongen, ga daar weg, het is niet veilig," which means, "Hey, boy, get away from there, it's not safe." So then I'd quickly get afraid and I'd go away. But one day I tried to go close to the ditch to play with some tadpoles or try and catch one or two, and my grumpy neighbor wasn't there, so I thought, I'm just going to go check this out. So I got really close. It was steep, getting my balance and dipping my hand in to catch one of those tadpoles and leaning in a little too far, splash, in the water. 6 years of age, cannot swim. Because of this moment, I had such difficulty as a young child with the idea of swimming. You come to Canada, swimming is like survival. You need to learn how to swim. Hated it for so many years. But in that moment, I am splashing. I'm trying to push down on the water to get my mouth above the surface to breathe, frantically splashing. I could feel the water coming over my face, over my head. My hands are thrashing above the surface, and he grabs my hand and pulls me out, and being able to breathe, sensation of relief, soaking wet, given that awkward six-year-old boy man hug, making him soaking wet, thanking him for rescuing me, now understanding what it is that he was saying all along. Oh. But that moment of being rescued and I think David is filled with that same kind of relief in a number of places in his life. When he says he reached down from on high and took hold of me, he drew me out of deep waters. You see, David had his share of moments that he felt he was overwhelmed to the point of drowning. His best friend's dad wanted him dead. He didn't know who he could trust. He was hiding for long periods of time, times often starving, enemy armies that wanted him dead, not alive, dead, encamped all around him. He struggled through marital difficulties. Much of it was his own doing, grieved the loss of a baby son, suffered years of tension with his own children. And yet in Psalm 68, he declares, "Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Our God saves." There's an interesting moment in Eve's testimony where she recalls at the age of 17 when her life seems to be heading into a direction away from God. She recalls that God offers her an escape from spiritual death. Do you have that moment marked in your faith life? That moment of rescue. Jesus Christ grabbing your life, bringing you into a moment of relief. That is the good news of the gospel. That is the business of God, redeeming his creation. Just so beautiful, because his plan of redemption is fulfilled through the line of David, through the lineage of David. Through his family would be born Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, who has rescued us and given us that moment of It can be hard to think back to that moment because maybe life circumstances were difficult. That moment where you felt you were drowning, perhaps you were drowning in sin or drowning in suffering, drowning in sorrow. The moment that God reached into your circumstances with his mighty hand and he pulled you up into freedom. It can be hard to go back and sit in that moment, but maybe now or later today, I invite you to relive that moment of absolute relief at being rescued. If you are in that moment right now of feeling overwhelmed, let me stop and pray for you right now. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who redeems. For anyone today that is overwhelmed by sin and brokenness, Lord, I pray that you would intercede. Lord, we rest on your promise and your sure word in Scripture that you will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. Lord, help us to see the way out. Lord, reach into our lives. Lord, use others around us to grab hold of us. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit in us. Unsettle us in our brokenness and our sin today, Lord, that we would cry out to you, confess, and be saved. Lord, for those who are struggling with suffering and sorrow in this broken world, would you meet us here? Some of our brothers and sisters have been crying out for a long time, Lord, for healing. We trust that you are sovereign and control in this world, but it is hard. Give us patient endurance, Lord, like we see in the reality of King David in the Psalms. Help us to trust as he did. Lord, as we are gathering together, we see a picture of what community looks like again. May that be relief for us in this moment, to know that we don't shoulder our sorrows and our suffering alone. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of community. Lord, we know you hear our prayer. In your name we pray. Amen. Third, God equips. It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he causes me to stand on the heights. Now, the deer that David is probably thinking of is the Nubian ibex, which technically isn't really a deer. It's more of a goat. I love deer. Love wild animals. I was just at Sun Peaks a couple of days ago, and I saw four deer. And I'm always trying frantically to grab my camera instead of just living in the moment. But these deer are just so majestic and so beautiful, and often we see them in a context that's familiar to us, right? Like we see them in a meadowy field, or we see them on the roadside, or we see, like in the case of mountain goats, Cache Creek, Spence's Bridge area along the side of Highway 1 on the cliffs there, and that makes sense to us. In 2010, I was in Israel on a study tour, and we were actually in that day we had gone to En Gedi, the oasis, but it's like a harsh wilderness valley, and it's dry and dusty and like really hot. And our guide says, oh, look, a deer over there. And I love animals, so I'm like, oh, where? I'm trying to find it. And he's like, yeah, it's very camouflaged. I'm like, okay, I'm looking harder. I can't see it. Guide's like, no, it's by the tree over there. So I'm looking, there's a tree. I'm looking all around the tree, looking under the tree. And he says, no, stands right beside me. He's in the tree. What? It's crazy. Nubian ibex, a totally amazing animal. He's actually standing on a branch. Here, take a look at this picture. He's standing on a branch. He's got hooves, like little tiny hooves. He's standing on a branch. It's crazy. Is there another picture? Yeah, look at that. He's like, what is? I know you kids are probably thinking Nubian ibex. That might be a Star Wars creature. I know. Fairly extraterrestrial. Doesn't actually feel like these are animals that live on the earth, but they actually are, and they're amazing animals. They're made by God, equipped by God, to adapt and thrive in this harsh environment, because there's predators in En Gedi as well. That's true for us. We were made by God and equipped by him to adapt and to thrive in the world that he has called us into. I was thinking about Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God. Just think about how God has given us the equipment to thrive in the spiritual and physical world that God has called us into. Security of truth. Yes, even absolute truth exists. A bulletproof righteousness. A peace that passes all understanding, where the world seems more ideologically hostile than it ever has been. A faith that can withstand attacks. A confidence that we are a redeemed people. Again, because of the work of Christ, not our own work. He's given us his inspired word. We gather here together again like this in a building, and we can physically see the blessing of Proverbs 27. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. God has given us a community to grow and to encourage us into the calling that God has equipped us for. And I see that in Eve. It's no surprise, sister, to God that you are doing what you are doing, enduring what you are enduring with hope for Korah. As hard as it has been, and I'm sure that Eve would say, without a doubt, worthwhile, God has equipped her for this journey from the very beginning. All of her experiences, her skills, her training and education as a social worker prior to establishing Hope for Korah are the things that God is using to fulfill her calling. Eve has an incredible community around her. Her family, Dave, kids, Guy and Liz, George and Crystal, the Hope for Korah board, and the many family sponsors and donors from this church. Folks, that is God's equipping. That is his ancient covenant with Abraham lived out with us. He is blessing us in order that we would be a blessing to others. God calls and equips, and we get to walk that out. And it's not just an Eve in Africa over there thing. We are called. We are equipped in the space and the place that the Lord has called you. Eve has not had it easy. You heard it from her own mouth. King David did not have it easy. It's in here. We do not have it easy either. If we are following God's call, it is beautiful, it is good, it is redemptive, but it will not be easy. And my heart goes out to the younger generation because they need to hear that and understand that. Saying yes to Jesus is not like pushing the Staples easy button. That was easy. It is hard. But we are equipped. The ibex stands on the branch because that's the only way to get the shade in the desert. To be able to climb and position yourself in the shade when the sun is at different angles is the only way to get shade in the desert. When the wolf pursues and attacks and picks up the scent of the ibex can go, yep, over the cliff, boom, 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 down, stand on a ledge, there's the wolf up there, I'm down here, you're up there, I'm safe. So today, take a moment to just reflect on how God has equipped you. It's not a moment to think about your own greatness, but a moment to remind yourself that God knows what he is doing. Fourthly, finally, God wins. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be to God my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me. He saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forever. The victory is the Lord's. David could not win all those battles. Over and over again in the stories of David, he gives glory to God. The victory belongs to the Lord. The kids will remember this when Saul says, no, you're too young to fight against Goliath. He says, well, when I was tending the sheep, God saved me from the paw of the lion. God saved me from the paw of the bear, and he will save me from this Philistine too. When he approaches the Philistine and the Philistine cusses out God and his people, David says, in front of everyone here, it will be clear that the Lord will not win this battle through sword or spear. The battle belongs to the Lord, and you will be defeated today. Grabs that stone, throws it in the sling. Dead. Not David's victory, God's victory. God wins. I so often feel like we take credit for God's victories in our life. After all, it was us that graduated from grade 12. It's us that put ourselves through university, college, We have the experience from part-time jobs. We built the resume. We had to go through that grueling interview to get that job to start our career. Oh, brother. Here in David's testimony, today in Eve's testimony, we see praise for God and sincere humility. The greatest king in Israel's history refuses to acknowledge his own skill, talent, accomplishments, and accolades because he knows it's because of God's grace. David knows he could never have done what he did on his own. His own frailty is here in the text. It's all God, and David knows it. This is where I just get goosebumps every time I hear those words that Eve says. 2019 and 2020, COVID, restrictions in Ethiopia, civil strife, warfare, factions. With the insanity that it brings with it, it would seem that this would be the most impossible time to try and lead a non-governmental organization. While the whole world is focused on COVID and their own selves in a kind of survival mode, Eve is declaring significant God victories in Korah. Yes, hardship. Yes, intense battles. Yes, I'm sure there were moments where Eve felt like she was bringing a slingshot to a sword fight. Yes, to, I'm sure, a host of skirmishes that only Eve knows about. Yet, in 2022, for Hope for Korah, it has seen them standing on the heights like the ibex. More breakthroughs for their families. More breakthroughs for their programs. So much joy to see God doing things that were unimaginable to Eve and to us when we first heard about Korah 10 years ago. I'm so pumped for our sister Eve to get a front row seat to how God is transforming people and communities. But Eve herself would say it's not about her. It's God. The victories are his, and he brings us on an incredible journey with him. Thank you, Eve, for allowing us to be part of that journey as well. It's worth taking a moment this week, maybe as you gather with friends and family, to reflect on the God victories in your life. The victories where you knew without a shadow of a doubt that it was God at work. And then take a moment on your own, too. Think back through your life to see where, if there were victories in your life that you took credit for, that you know now had less to do with you and more to do with God's grace, his equipping, and his spirit in you. Take a moment to confess to the Lord that those moments are victories that belong to him. This morning, be refreshed that the Lord works in this world and the Lord is working in your life. The Lord hears you. The Lord has saved you. The Lord equips you for this life, and the Lord will win these battles for you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning, for your word, which goes out and comes back and reaps a harvest. So I pray, Lord, through your spirit, that this word that has gone out would transform lives. We thank you, Lord, for the truth in Scripture that we can stand on, even in the midst of hardship and difficulty. Thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign and in control in this world. For those who are having a difficult time seeing it, Lord, open their eyes and their hearts to see how you are working, redeeming, and transforming. Bring us back to remembrance of those moments of relief. If we've forgotten them because our faith has just been a thing, bring us back, Spirit, to that moment of relief. We thank you, Lord, for your transformative gospel. We thank you, Lord, for your Son. In your name we pray. And everybody together said, Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand and receive the blessing this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you his shalom. And everybody together said, Amen. Let's sing together.
cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah sealed and all
us, and God, you win, and the battles are yours, and the victories are yours. We thank you that we get to be together today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Before you head out, we have one brief announcement for you. July, our serve focus is to support and love on our missionaries and our missions partners. And the way that we want to support them and love on them this time is by having you get onto our New Life website or through the Encourager and sign cards for them, a greeting card to send your support, to your love for all of our missionaries and missions partners all over. So if you just log on to the website or go to our Encourager, you'll be able to click on their names and actually say something to them. So it'd be a real blessing if you could do that through this month. And before you go as well, if you see Mike out in the foyer, make sure to sign up for kids ministry. Thank you so much. We love you. We're happy to have you back. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.